For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Jenny. I'm on staff here at the Mission. It's good, so good, to see people's eyes, not faces, but so good to be back together. Welcome if you're visiting this morning. Normally we would have a Bible behind our seats. You haven't got that, but if you want to follow along with the bit of the Bible we're going to be looking at, it's Hebrews up there, chapter 10. So if you want to get that up, you can do. It's going to be on the screen as well. So Hebrews 10, and we're going to be concentrating on verses 22 to 25. Sorry. Let me ask you this morning, why are you here? Now, I was going to do a shout it out Q&A type thing, but given that I'm half deaf and I couldn't even hear what was going on earlier, it's not going to be a great combination. So I want you to think to yourself, why are you here this morning? Maybe you're here because finally you can be here. Maybe you're here because you were invited. Maybe you're here because you stumbled along. Maybe you're here because you're so over sitting down in front of a screen and watching a church service. Maybe you're here because finally you can gather with brothers and sisters in Christ if you're a believer. Maybe you're here because nothing actually beats being together face to face and worshipping God. I don't know the reasons why you're here, but this is what's exciting actually. Even if you didn't know you was coming this morning, God knew that you were coming. So God knows why you're here this morning. Okay, if you're a regular from the Good Shepherd Mission, we are pausing our series in looking at Mark to spend a few weeks reminding ourselves why we gather together. Why do we gather? Why do we do this in a big group and in smaller groups? That's what we're going to be looking at. And hopefully this morning, I'm going to set a bit of a bigger picture of why we gather together as the family of God. Why do we come together? What is the purpose of us being here like this, of us gathering together in smaller groups? Hopefully we'll set the scene, and week on week we're going to look at another reason why we do that. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 25. And just to set a bit of the scene, if you don't know much, if you didn't even know Hebrews was a book in the Bible, that's okay. We don't actually know much about the person who wrote it. We don't know who wrote it or who they wrote it to. There's lots of references in the book to like Old Testament stuff. So we assume that it's written to Jewish believers. So people who are Jews and now they're Christians, who are facing persecution and the threat of prison. And there's a challenge to them to keep on going in your faith, to remain faithful in the midst of everything that they're going through. And so throughout the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is bigger and better than anything that's gone before. Jesus is bigger and better than the Old Testament. He's bigger and better than Moses, the law, the sacrifices. Jesus is better than all of that because we believe that in his death and in his resurrection, he died once for all people so that we could be friends with God. And so we pick up our text today in chapter 10, just before that. It's under the heading, a call to persevere, a call to keep on going. So as believers, keeping on going. So let me read it. It'll be on the screen. We'll pick up in verse 19 so you know what he's saying before the verses we're looking at. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, Jesus's body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, what's that then? There we go. Okay, so why do we gather? Let's look at our passage. We gather because we are part of a team. Whether you like it or not, look at verse 22, let us. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Verse 24, let us consider how we spur one another on. In three verses, three calls, let us. So the author is drawing our attention away from the individual towards the corporate. It's not about just you in isolation, it's about us. And let's be clear, the team that we're on is not because we cut the grade. It's not because we're perfect. It's not because we're good. Those verses right at the start, verses 19 to 20, say, you, if you're a follower of Jesus, are on the team because of what Jesus has done for you, not because of who you are. Okay, so we are formed as a team because of Jesus, and the center of our team, the very bedrock and the reason why we're a team is because of Jesus. And so when you're a part of any team, I don't know if you're a part of a team now, a sports team perhaps, maybe not a professional sports team, but when you're part of a professional sports team, you've got an individual responsibility, haven't you? You've got a responsibility that you're going to eat well, you're going to sleep well, you're going to train well. You've got a responsibility that you're going to pitch up when your team are training, you're going to turn up for matches. If you didn't, you'd be quite a rubbish teammate. And actually, being part of a team of followers of Jesus at the Good Shepherd Mission doesn't mean that we're absolved from our individual responsibility. See, we've got an individual responsibility to draw close to God. We've got an individual responsibility to hold on to the hope that we profess. But these verses are a reminder that we do not do that in isolation. Let us. Let us. And so together as a part of a team, we draw near to God in that holy place that we can because of Jesus. And together we hold on to the hope that Darren was talking about, the hope of Jesus in this life and the hope that is to come. We do that together. And we spur one another on. We encourage one another. Now the thing is, our culture is such an individualistic culture. I didn't think I'd get that word out. I'm quite impressed by that. It's quite an individualistic culture, and I think that seeps into the church because we hear about our personal walk with Jesus, our personal profession of faith, our personal discipleship journey, my discipleship journey. And the thing is, there's truth in that, but a New Testament, so like the parts that are all about Jesus and the books in the Bible that are written to believers who follow Jesus, so much of that actually isn't about the individual. Paul, in his letter to Romans and 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, it was written and it was talking about the body of believers, followers of Jesus, being a body that we've all got a part to play. It's not an individualistic thing. And yet our culture kind of feeds that it is. And those letters were written to groups of people like this. It wasn't written to individuals, the majority of them. And so we're a body of many parts. And when we gather, we remind ourselves that it's not just about me. I am part of a team. Now, even with Zoom, for those of you who don't know, we've been having our church services on Zoom on a Sunday evening. And even with Zoom, COVID has fragmented our team in a way in my lifetime like I've never experienced. It's broken us apart and it's separated us. And some people have really struggled with that isolation, and that might be you this morning, and you've really struggled and you found it difficult to keep on going. And for some of us, we've coped with that and we've adapted and we've shifted. And maybe even for some of us, the whole thought of actually not being a part of the team has actually been quite nice. Let us. Let us see, we have been living in a season where we have gathered together and our gathering has meant sitting either alone or with our family on a sofa with our PJ bottoms optional, possibly eating a snack or two, optional whether you show your face or not, and we've been watching church. And that doesn't feel much like a team. And we've got used to drawing close to God by ourselves or with a couple of other people. And that itself doesn't feel very team-like. And it's not a criticism. It's what we've had to do to get by. And yet, regardless of how isolated you felt over the past 15 months, or how connected you have felt. We are part of a team. And so it's great today that a lot of us can come back together and see each other face to face and look each other in the eyes, even if you can't see the smile or the grimace beneath the mask. But you know, like spiritually almost, I'd really like to call us back this morning to being on the team. And so where you've had to individually strive and keep on going, or with the ones and twos keep on going, I want to call you back this morning to say, remember, you are part of a team. Like, take a chance this morning to look around and see some of the faces who are on your team. You're part of a team. You don't have to go it alone. And so it's not necessarily about whether you are in the building this morning, or whether you're watching at home online, or whether you can come or whether you can't come. It's more than that. It's having a team mentality. And so if in the past season that we've lived through, if that team mentality has got lost, because actually so much of the past few months have been about survival mode, then I really want to encourage us, think about the team. You are a part of a team. That's how God intended it to be. And actually, as we start coming back together, please don't isolate yourself more than you need to. Because actually, when the disappointments and the setbacks come, which they come, whether it's COVID season or not, we need one another. Because we're centered, we're a team centered and founded on Jesus. And so we gather together because we're a team. And then look at verse 25. It says, encourage one another. So we gather together, verses 24 and 25, talk about spurring one another on, encouraging one another. And one another, it is mutual. Okay, so there's going to be times when you need to be encouraged and I need to do the encouraging, and there's going to be times when it's vice versa and I need to be encouraged and you need to be doing the encouraging. And let me say this, like, the author doesn't say only encourage if you're educated. Okay, so it's not the educated people encouraging the uneducated. Okay, it's not the clever encouraging the not so clever. It's not the old encouraging the young. It is a mutual two-way street. You encourage me, I encourage you. It is that simple. And so we encourage one another for a purpose. When I was on a walk in lockdown, it's one of my highlights actually, I was walking behind a couple who were just walking in front of me, going out for a lockdown walk, because there's absolutely nothing else to do. And they were having a bit of a heated conversation. And so the guy was like, well, I thought you'd want to get out of the flat and go for a walk. And she's like, are you being serious? You've brought us out of the flat and we're walking along with nowhere to go. We're walking aimlessly. We're not walking to a cafe. We're not walking to a pub. This is ridiculous. There's no purpose to this walk. And quite frankly, I'd rather be at home. I'm not going to ask who had similar conversations in their households with their spouses or their flatmates. But this woman wasn't feeling the fact that they were just going out for a walk with nowhere to go to. Look at verse 24. The purpose of us spurring one another on is to spur one another towards love and towards good deeds. It's a mark of discipleship. It's a spur one another on to love God, to love our neighbours, and to love ourselves. Spur one another on to do good deeds for those within the church and outside of the church. Spur one another on. And the thing is, if people need to be encouraged, if the author's saying they've got to do that for one another and we've got to do that for one another, if I need that, you need that. If you need that, I need that. So they spur one another on to love and to good deeds. And do you know what? It's not enough for you to be loving and for you to be doing good deeds. Hebrews says, stir others up to do the same. And so if you're thinking, I've got the box ticked, I'm loving and I'm doing good deeds, are you stirring somebody else up on your team to do the same? Because if you're not, that's the challenge for you this morning. And it goes on in verse 24. It's, you know, it's not something that's just going to happen. Encouragement and spurring someone on isn't just going to happen. It says in verse 24, consider. So a call for all believers, consider, think, ponder, reflect, how are you going to do this? Maybe you know some people who just ooze encouragement. they're just like Mr. or Mrs. Encouragement. Like, they don't even need the T-shirt. Just everything they do is encouraging. Maybe you're like that. I myself am probably not like that. I need to kind of think a little bit harder or let the Spirit prompt me to be encouraging. And so the call is this morning, consider, think, how are you going to spur your teammates on? How are you going to do that? And I wonder if it's a case of when we get up in the morning and we're having our quiet time or we're sitting before God in whatever way that looks, of saying, God, what can I do this morning? What can I do today that is going to encourage my teammates? That is going to spur them on to love and to good works? So actively thinking about the people that are sat in the room with you this morning. Imagine if the mark of our gathering together wasn't how good the talk was, how rubbish the tea was, what the music was like, but what did I do today to encourage somebody else? And so since a way has been made for us to approach God, what can we do to encourage others to draw close to Him? What can we do to encourage others to hold on to the hope that they profess? Maybe that is praying with someone and for someone. Maybe that is sharing scripture. Maybe that's just looking them in the eye and say, keep on going, I know things are tough. I was thinking this morning as I was going over my notes that we're coming back and people are going to be in a variety of different places. And maybe you're thinking this morning, well, Jen, I know that I'm part of a team and I know that it says in Hebrews and it's my role to encourage other people. But right now, I am so depleted that I've got absolutely nothing left in the tank. And so you're talking about encouraging, but man, I am, when it says in Hebrews to hold on, I am holding on by the skin of my teeth. Do you know what? That is okay. That is okay. Allow someone else to encourage you. Not just this morning, but this season. I still believe that in your depleted state, God can use you to be an encouragement to somebody else. But do you know what as well? Don't hold back. Let people encourage you. Let people minister to you for the Spirit to refill your tank until you're not depleted anymore. And so maybe it's your season to be encouraged, or maybe it is your season to be the encourager. And so let us as a church, when we gather, whether we gather together on a Sunday mornings, for the 2 o'clock prayer meetings, in our small groups, in our prayer triplets, whatever that looks like, may we be encouraging each other and spurring each other on to love and to good works. Reminding ourselves that He is faithful. He who has promised is faithful. God has done and God will do. Like he's true to His word. And so keep on going. And it says in verse 25, keep doing this. Keep doing it. And all the more as the day approaches when we believe that Jesus will come back and we'll see Him face to face. See, it's not do it for the first few weeks that we meet together or do it for 40 days and then you're done. Keep on doing it. Don't get tired of doing it. And then finally, why else do we gather? Like really simply, verse 25, because Scripture tells us to. The Bible tells us to. It's really like non-negotiable. It don't get clearer than don't get in the habit of not meeting together. See, team members, they turn up for one another. Team members don't just go about their business by themselves because they know that I'm here for myself, but I'm also here for the benefit of the team. And so we're instructed to turn up together. And there's going to be times when it's easy to turn up, and there's going to be times when it's hard to turn up. And there's going to be times when the worship isn't to your style and a prayer meeting isn't led how you want it to be led. And there's going to be times when hanging out with people is a little bit difficult. And it's going to be times when people just get on your nerves. I heard someone go, amen. You know, there's going to be times when your small group is looking at a topic that you don't want to look at. Don't get into the habit of not turning up. Pitch up, turn up. Don't get into the habit of not showing up. So easy to do. So easy to do. So verse 25 is more than an encouragement to show up for your team. Don't get into the unhelpful habit of not meeting together. Because church, look, something happens when we meet together, when we worship and when we pray, when we share stories about what God's been doing in our lives. Something happens. I think something happens in a spiritual realm, but something happens one to another. There was a time, I don't know how old Nate was, but I was still getting up, that's my son, in the middle of the night to feed him. And almost every time I'd feed him, I'd sing "The Lord's My Shepherd," you know, speak truth over the boy's life before he can even know what's what. And there was one Sunday morning, I remember just coming in and just being like, I have not got it in the tank. Like, I've not got it in the tank. I don't even really want to be here. I'm knackered. Quite frankly, I've had enough. And then we started singing, and one of the songs we sung was "The Lord's My Shepherd," and the chorus of it says, "I will trust in you alone." And we as a church, don't know if you know it, we sing well, okay? And it normally sounds all right. But actually, as the praise of the people of God went up, something happened in my spirit that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't pitched up that morning. And hope rose. And come on, Jenna, I've got another bit of energy for the rest of the day, rose, because people came and they gathered together. Now, I can't explain that really in human ways, other than something happens when we gather together. And so not only does God love it when we gather together, but verses 22 to 23, it helps us, helps us to draw near to God and to hold unswervingly to the hope that we have in him. And so, church, this morning, God is calling you through his word that, to say we gather together because we're a Jesus-centered team. And we gather together to encourage and to be encouraged. And we gather together quite simply because his word says so this morning. And so, a call to you, come back on the team if in any way you've kind of found yourself drifting off of it a little bit. Or if circumstances have kind of pushed you off of it a little bit, come back onto the team. We need you. We need you. And this morning, how can I encourage, how can I spur on somebody else to love and to good deeds? How can I encourage somebody else to keep on going? How can I encourage someone else to hold on to the faith that they've got? And then maybe think, in what ways are you gathering? You know, is it just about Sundays? Should you be gathering through the week with other people? Like, to really prayerfully consider that. And maybe this morning you've heard me talk about a team and being a part of a team and encouraging one another, and you're not a part of the team because you're not a follower of Jesus. If that's you, you're so welcome. But, you know, there's the invitation at any point, any day, to join and hop onto the team. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died as an expression of how much God loved you. And because of what Jesus did, it means that we don't have to jump through hoops, come and make sacrifices in church. We can come as we are before the Father because of what Jesus did. And so this morning, if you want to join a team, please don't leave the building without coming to talk to someone. And say, actually, I'm interested in signing up to this Jesus-centered team that you're talking about. Let's pray. God, you know exactly where we are this morning. God, you know, for those of us, some of us have been kept going by meeting together and being on a receiving end of encouragement. And God, thank you for one another. And God, for those of us, for whatever reason, who feel like, gosh, we're on the subs bench, really, of the team, rather than in the starting team, I pray, God, that you would call us back in. God, where our mentality and our mindset maybe has just been in survival mode and thinking about my nearest and dearest and what we can do to get through it, I pray that you give us a mindset of other people who are on the team. And God, help us to really consider, to think how we might encourage and spur one another on as we gather together. And God, in the times when it's easier to not gather, than to gather. It's easier to not show up than to show up. I just pray like the real prompting of your spirit, a kick up the backside when we need it, to not get into the habit of not meeting together. And Jesus, thank you for the truth in Hebrews that all of that is possible because of what Jesus did for us. Because of Jesus' body and because of his blood. Thank you that you give us a new living hope and a new way. And God, thank you that you don't demand anything of us. You just say, come, follow me. And so for those of us this morning who are feeling like we want to respond to that call, God, I pray that you come and meet us in that place. Thank you that there's an invitation for all to join your team, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of Jesus' death and because of his resurrection. And thank you, that is such good news. Such good news. Amen.